You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As the climate and sustainability crisis continues to worsen, and corporations and governments refuse to act, the question must be asked, do we need to rethink our entire society? From one built on resource extraction for profit, to one built around sustainable local living. I spoke to Professor of Geology at the University of Auckland, Phil Shane, about the sustainability of our society. Why are governments and industries so non-receptive to change?
I think we have to look back over all of human history. Most of us are only concerned with sort of our immediate surroundings and our immediate future and the people we know. So we sort of just naturally, it's not sinister, we just naturally discount people we don't know and faraway places and the uncertain future. So put simply, we really want business as usual, but by alternative means if we can improve things. Bottom line, we only think short term.
Given that fossil fuels are used in the production of renewable energies, for example, the steel used to make windmills, can we do anything to make fossil fuels entirely obsolete?
I think the only way to have fossil fuels entirely obsolete would be a complete civilization change. But keep in mind, that doesn't have to be as bad as it sounds. We seem to be more concerned about losing civilization rather than losing the planet. So if we want to do away with fossil fuels, which you need to remember are linked to making things like fertilizer and steel and concrete, we need to go to a lifestyle that's based more on localized living, interacting with nature, things like regenerative agriculture. You need to remember, we did live like that for tens of thousands of years. It's only in the last 150 years or so that we've changed to this alternative world where we need endless energy.
Well, a follow-up question I'd like to ask is, how can that kind of living support the 8 billion people that we have in the world now?
Well, we have to remember that fossil fuel and our various ideologies and narratives that we've just basically made up and are not based on biophysical reality has led to an overshoot in the population that can be sustained by the planet. So we have to accept that is an issue. But in saying that, we have to remember that a lot of poverty is created by people being moved off their land, being forced to live in the city, and meaning that they just, even people with skills, don't have access to land where they could grow their own food and live. So we have to remember, even if we chose globally to move to a lifestyle that was more localized and based on regenerative agriculture, that could actually be better than the system we've got now for a lot of people that live in relative poverty. There isn't, I'm not saying there's any simple solutions. I don't know how it would play out. All I know is even now there are a lot of people who possibly would have a better diet and access to clean water if they had access to land. And to do that, we'd have to move away from cash crops and manufacturing.
Currently, there is a debate over the future of transportation, with EVs becoming more prominent as a choice of vehicle. Given how dangerous and energy-consuming it is to mine the lithium used for their batteries, is public transportation the answer?
Yes. In the long run, public transportation is the answer. But if you think even more broadly, cities have become too large. We're living too far away from where our water and food resources come from. So although public transport would be a step, in the right direction. The direction to go would be more localized living. Cities are just sort of like a large parasite on Earth, drawing on all the surrounding landscape. We need to spread out and work and live within nature if possible. But yes, EVs don't solve anything. Electrical vehicles are only an alternative means to keeping the same sort of lifestyle we've got now. But the lifestyle we've got now cannot continue because Earth is finite.
There is a common assumption that it is an individual responsibility for citizens to lower their carbon footprint. However, the biggest polluters are corporations. So what can we really do about it as citizens?
As individuals, it's very difficult to do anything. As we've seen in any global issues, not just environmental ones, civil rights, anything, it's hard for an individual to have much of an impact. We can only achieve something if we work collectively. If we form localized groups of like-minded people, in the long run, if we were happy to give up 24-hour ice cream and didn't need TikTok, and didn't feel pressure to have children that then require plastic toys, and there's a whole educational industry associated with that, we would find that collectively some businesses would slowly fade out and collapse if we stopped consuming what they produce.
The current coalition government has reversed several environmental regulations from the previous government. What impacts will this have heading forward?
New Zealand is a small country, and it seems like every time we have a change of government, we have a complete change of policy. So it's difficult to know if we're going in any direction or achieving anything. But as a small country with land that can produce water and food, we would have the potential to go in a completely different direction. I don't like to make it political, though. Right and left is just identity politics. Both are just trying to achieve the same thing, but by different means. We have to think more widely than current politics. But extraction of resources, rapid use of them, only means we're going to just leave an IOU to all young people as we use up all the resources for ourselves.
Overall, what needs to change when discussing sustainability heading forward?
My personal view of sustainability is it's become a buzzword. Everything is sustainable. Everybody wants to be sustainable. But the planet can't sustain a human population that is already in overshoot. Overshoot means we're living beyond the carrying capacity of the planet. Humans are. We have been in this state for decades. So sustainability, I think, is the wrong concept. We actually need to work towards reduction. There are some political movements like degrowth, but we need a broader conversation. Everybody needs to be on board with the general goal of let's reduce the energy and materials we use and create a new relationship with nature. Because when you think about it, once we've got the basic things we need like shelter and food, all the best things in life are free anyway. So it's an actual mindset change that we need. And sustainability, the risk of using that term too much is that it implies we can keep living the same way, which we can't.
How long do we have to make fundamental change?
Nobody has a crystal ball. If someone tells you they've got a solution or they know the future, you probably can stop listening to them. All we can really say is that we know for decades, mostly because of the global north or rich countries, that we've been extracting too much and using too much energy. There are some good systems models like the limits to growth done by an MIT group more than 50 years ago and updated regularly. But some systems models have suggested that we really need to make a major global change within 100 years, which started back in about the early 1970s. So I just, no one can predict the future, but if we just care about other life and young people, we want to really just start making the changes right now. We're already 50 years too late.
When you say that we've gone past the carrying capacity of the planet, is that in terms of resource extraction or is that in terms of the number of people?
The concept of going beyond the carrying capacity of the planet is very much from the work of William Rees and the ecological footprint, which is well established and strongly supported by global data. What it actually means is if we looked at all of the area available to humans to get the water and food and fibers they need, and also to assimilate all of the waste, then at the moment we're using more area on Earth than there is available. So we're using something like 1.7 Earths, even though we've only got one Earth. So how do we use more than one planet when there is only one planet? It's because there are living resources like fish stocks, and there's non-living resources like metals and coal. And what we're doing is rather than using them at a slow rate, the living things can renew, the inorganic things like coal or metal can't renew. But for the living things that can renew, which we depend on our food and we can use wood to build houses, we're extracting them at a rate greater than they can renew. So all we're doing is we've got living and non-living resources and we're drawing them down quicker than they could ever come back. Think of it like money in the bank. Rather than living on the interest from the money you from your deposit in the bank, you're drawing down the deposit itself. So it's sort of like spending all your savings to go on holiday, and then after your holiday, you have nothing left.
That was Professor of Geology Phil Shane from the University of Auckland on the sustainability of our society and where we should go next.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.